what were some of the tough decisions you had to make when you brought this list out?
I think individually they're all tough decisions. You know, whether they, especially the tough ones personally, being the likes of Matt Bradley and Rob Mielsen, two quality players, but have suffered with injuries, for example. They were tough personally, but I think it was tough overall because you have to make a decision on who you want to go forward with you. You know, we've got 13 players that's on contract for next season and going forward with. And it might even be one or two of them that come under a lot of risk as we go forward, but we're contractually honoured to take them forward. And we still believe at this minute in time they can play a part, and you never really know who comes on your radar. So there's one or two in that list went forward with a little bit between the staff of not 100%, but the bulk did. And we had to make the stronger decisions for the football club.
Do you expect a lot of change this summer?
No, I don't expect a lot of change. I think we've been absolutely clear that the type of player that we need to try and recruit. But it's always going to be difficult for us, you know, given the quality that you get in the Championship and the type of earners these players earn. But, you know, we've never been frightened to go and set our stall out to get a player, and a player or two or three or whatever it is, and make it happen when it's mattered to us. So we'll be competitive, and that's all we can ask us to be.
You're not going to give us specifics, of course, but is your budget going to go up, Steve?
I would think it will go up. I've literally got that meeting with the chairman this afternoon. And the chairman has always been very supportive of me when we've gone to speak about players or different things. You know, we said it on your programme 6 weeks before the end of the season. We have a structure here that we're not going to break. We're not going to break it next season. It has to fit within the platform in the dressing room. Yes, we've gone, and people can say, why have you agreed on four occasions to pay over £1 million for a player and nobody able to get them in because of wages? Because we have a structure, and we're not going to break that structure. You know, we're not a football club that's going to go and lose £25 million in a season like Bournemouth have just done. But all that our chairman genuinely ever asks is that we get value for money in who we sign. He doesn't get involved in the detail. He funds it. But the detail lies with myself and the chief executive and my staff as well have an input to make sure that we're keeping a balance in the dressing room. That's just what's massively important for us.
So the right player comes along and his salary demands are not too high, Steve. You're prepared as a club to spend over £1 million on a player, are you?
Yeah, we would be. But it has to be the right player. You know, I think any club in the Championship, any club, I think Sheffield United pay way in excess of that for a right back in League One. So, you know, if it's right, we can do it. But it has to be right. It has to be the right player. And it's the same when it comes to salaries and packages and all that stuff. It just has to be the right player.
Two key players are out of contract, and yet I believe you've made offers to them, Ben Pringle and Craig Morgan. Just how important is it that you keep those players, Steve?
Well, it's important we keep all our good players, and Craig and Ben would come into that. But as I've always said, when a contract comes to an end and players have options to discuss with other clubs, they should explore those options. I think it's only right for young men to do so. But we've made offers. But Paul Douglas has, I think, confirmed them up in writing today when he's been back in after a couple of days poorly. So those players will be given a couple of weeks to go and digest what we've put in front of them and to go back and forth with Paul and just see where we go. But they're both top players, and they've been nothing short of playing a key part in their success over my time here in the last 3 years.
Have they both suggested to the club that they'd be very keen to stay?
Yeah, I think both lads would like to stay, and it's but it has to be right. They have to again fit into the structures that we set for everyone. I can't pay my squad any more compliments, and Ben and Craig played a big part in that towards the end of the season. I think we were absolutely terrific in spells. I don't think we got the credit for our performances that was deserved, and I think I'm right to say we should have had 12 or 14, 15 more points. I don't think a lot of managers in the Championship can genuinely say that. They'll say it, but we felt it. Whether it was true from a neutral point of view, I can't answer. I'm a Miller. You can't have the dominance, and the best example being Blackpool. You can't have 90% of the play and 99% of the chances and come out of both games drawing. It's just not what other Championship clubs who sit in mid-table. If you add the 3 points that we unfortunately were taken away from us, and you add 4 from the 2 games with Blackpool, forget every other game in the competition, we'd be in the top half of the table. So from that point of view, we've got lots to build on.
Just a quick point on this points deduction. I know that there was very little reason to push it when you'd secured your status in the Championship. But as a manager, does it really gore you that you have lost those points now, that they're not going to come back?
Well, you know and I know that I couldn't say publicly how hurt I was at the time. And it was most important that I kept the focus on everybody being positive, and we had the games to go and address the point situation and stay up. Because I always believed deep down we'd stay up with a lot more than 3 points to spare, and we did, because if those points are not taken off, we stay up with 8 to spare. And looking down at clubs like Reading and Brighton and Fulham and such, like good football clubs. But it really, really did hurt at the time. But I'm never one to get what's a body blow news, and people think you react in an angry and disorientated way. I'm quite the opposite. I become withdrawn and took it personally, as some of my quotes attributed after we'd stayed up against Reading showed. It was hard to take.
Just to get your absolute thoughts on this, do you honestly believe that there are people in the Football League who don't want Rotherham in the Championship?
No. I think it feels like that sometimes. And it feels like that sometimes, and it's quite horrible, really. I think there's massive integrity at the Football League. You know, I think there's a lot of people that sit up there, and people I speak to on a regular basis who are just the utmost gentlemen, if I could use that expression. But sometimes it don't help you when things go against you and you feel the pressures. And, you know, football management is a fantastic profession. But I think everyone would tell you in football management, it does send you to thinking things that are not exactly 100% true. So you just get your mind turned. But no, I think the Football League are proud to have Rotherham United in the Championship. What a example we must be. We're sitting here in a purpose-built, fantastic new stadium in the middle of town. No debt, no overdraft, a wage structure completely under control. I think the Football League uses as a benchmark for other football clubs. And we see clubs around the Championship and below it, not so much above it these days, but below it, who are just absolutely riddled with debt. And if one or two individuals walk away, it would fall flat on its face. Tony Stewart has set this football club up that whatever it passes to Richard and through the Stewart family, probably for generations upon generations. What an outstanding vehicle and what an outstanding example for a football club to be run.
How much does it help as well that he's a local owner? Because we see more and more foreign owners in English football these days, and they come with a lot of money, Steve, and that helps football clubs. But is there something special about the local guy, done good, who now owns this football club?
Oh, I think there is. You know, Tony Stewart started off with a young man as an electrician setting out in life, and he's a very proud man and would never ever talk publicly about what he's got and what he's not got. And he'll probably be moaning at me tomorrow for talking like this, but he's an incredibly rich guy. But he could choose to be a recluse and not be involved, couldn't he? I know he spoke to me with such passion when I first ever met him about the job here. He spoke to me with such passion about and how proud he was to be just about to lead his Rotherham United back into the town when so many people doubted that it would ever happen. And I know that as we've had success in Leagues 2 and 1 and up into the Championship, it's given even more pride as he married a Rotherham girl. He calls himself a Sheffielder who came over here many years ago and married a Rotherham girl. And I think he's got immense pride in this town. He often talks to me about when he's on holiday and people ask where he comes from, and he's very, very proud to say right away Rotherham. And I think, listen, I've never been in Rotherham more than 3 years on a regular basis, but I don't think there's anyone in the history of this town who's done more.
And just to come back to the retain list, a couple of players have been transfer listed, Loach and Newton. Have you had any interest for those two players?
Yeah, we've had interest from League One for both and League Two for one of them. Listen, we're a bit no secrets here at the football club from our supporters. We have private and confidentiality things that we have to agree with other bodies and clubs and players to respect, of course. But, you know, I did say to the supporters we'd come out and be very clear when we'd done our retain list. And we outlined to Scott, I hadn't worked out the way that we'd all have wished. And the same with young Connor. And we're not just making those decisions based on the squad we have. We're based those decisions on who we're looking to recruit. And if we're looking to recruit other people that stand in front of these, well, if we were struggling to get game time this season, and they're going to even struggle even more next year. So I have a responsibility also to look after their interests, as strange as that may sound. And the one thing about Scott Loach and Conor Newton should be doing is playing football at 3 o'clock every Saturday and not walking around Sainsbury's with their partners. They should be playing football because they're first class professionals. They're great lads. They've never given us a minute's issue since they walked in the door. And I know how badly they hurt, and I see their faces when they're not involved in the team. And that's why we've given them a very early summer opportunity to see what's out there.
You'll say it's a big summer for all of your players, but in particular, are there one or two who have got a big opportunity this summer really to sort of take a step forward, maybe one or two of the younger players, to really push themselves forward at this club over the summer?
Well, I think we've got two exciting young talents in Bowery and Clark Harris. And it was quite interesting. We had our individual chats and both lads go into the summer. Buzzing that they played a part just towards the very end, but aware that there is much needed progress to be made. And I think Jordan Bowery is a much better player now than he was when he arrived. I think that's going, as I said, from League Two to the Premiership, coming back to the Championship. I think in the last 6-8 weeks of the season, he became a little bit the Jordan Bowery we've wanted all season, and we look forward to Jordan coming back in that frame of mind. And then Johnson Clark Harris, he's 20 years old. He's 6'3". He's built like Goliath, or for some of the listeners, the Jolly Green Giant on the side of the tin. He's got every attribute that you could imagine for him to be a good footballer. But if we could just add that little bit of him to caress the ball and nurture it and get his awareness a bit brighter, which we think is part of his natural development at 20 years old, he could be anything. He could be anything he wants to be.
What do you think you need most, more than anything, this summer, Steve? What is going to be sort of the key transfer target, would you say? Is there a position of need that you're looking at specifically?
No, there's not one specific position. I think we all know that we'd like to strengthen the key areas of the team. We've, by releasing certain players, we've created vacuums in certain areas of the team that we know have become a big focus. But we're going to go about our recruitment and on a more informed basis this season. We know the Championship now. We've been to secondary school, so we've had our first year at secondary school. Nobody needs to tell you where to go in the second year. Nobody needs to tell you what teachers are quite tough and what teachers will give you a bit of latitude with the homework, or when you walk into a new office for that, you know, that first 6-7 months in a new environment and a new job, and you go about gingerly and you make the odd error and you make mistakes, and that's staff and players. And then suddenly you're 7, 8, 9, 10 months in the door, and you become part of it. You get the feeling for it, and that's us in the Championship. We're going to be around the Championship for a long time.
Playoffs, who do you fancy in the Championship, Steve?
Norwich.
What about League One?
I think League One's a difficult one. I think I was really, really surprised to see Preston lose at Colchester. I think it's Preston have had a marvellous season and got pipped by an excellent side in MK Dons, who I'm no doubt will grace the Championship. But I think it's tough if you're asking me to divide the games up, which I know you're looking at me nodding your head. I think it's time Sheffield United got back to the Championship, in all honesty. And I think if you look from a neutral point of view, when I first joined Rotherham United, I became clear from our chairman and our directors, and especially a lot of our supporters, who made it clear just what a contribution Sheffield United and its supporters and people above the supporters and directors made when this football club needed help, not wanted, needed help. So I think from a Steve Evans point of view, I'd love to see the Blades back in the Championship and bring another derby to the New York and another derby to Bramall Lane. And that takes nothing away from Chesterfield, who, when you listen to their captain, who thinks they're the best team in the four and they've got the best players of the four, and what a wonderful opportunity they've got to show that. Because I'm not disagreeing with Big Ian, he's too big and bold for me, and he's looking at me with the steely eyes. But if you make comments like that, but I do think they can beat Preston Chesterfield. I really do think they can beat them. I'm no surprised. I wouldn't be surprised with that result. Swindon's in poor, poor form get into the playoffs. I know they've chopped and changed their team, and I think anything other than a comfortable win for the Blades over two legs would be surprising to me. But I'll temper it all by saying the playoffs are the playoffs, and I've only ever been in them once.
What about you now, Steve? What are you going to do? Is it time for a break or what?
No, there's been no time for breaks. I've had the odd day here back down with my two daughters in Cambridgeshire, which has been beautiful, really, because I never see them. But I'm with our chairman today and tomorrow, as you know, for some meetings. And then I'm in Scotland to get back on my pro licence for a few days. And then we're down next week to have our first meeting about recruitment, as in the chairman wants to see my plans. And we've not really got into that yet. He's seen the exit strategy, if you like, players coming, transfer listed, etc. We're talking today and tomorrow about infrastructure, training ground and progress in areas there, and you know, one or two hopeful additions to my backroom staff. But we have to justify them, of course, to our chairman. But for me, then it's Scotland pro licence back, some recruitment, and then another few days away on the pro licence, and I'm hoping to have a 7-day break sometime in June with my family.
Just a final one. You're talking about the backroom staff there. Is the sort of one specific thing you feel you need to add to the backroom?
I think there's a couple of things we need. We think we need another coach to work beside myself and Paul Rayner, really, who do the majority of the coaching. I think we've got the fitness side and the nutrition side down to a fine art with Paul Warren, who's just top class at his job, simple. And we've got big Andy Dibble, who can concentrate on the goalkeepers, which is, you have to say to Andy Dibble, what a good job he's done. He's produced his goalkeeper after goalkeeper, whether it be Warrington, whether it be Shearer, whether it be Colin, whether it be Martinez, who have all made a big contribution in taking us up and keeping us in the Championship. So big Dibs is great at his job. But we just feel we need someone that is the right time now to come in as we develop some of the younger players and we get into areas and the coaching areas that we have to at this level of the game.